Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Comedy Concepts with your host, Nancy Lombardo.
Hello, hello, good afternoon, and welcome to Comedy Concepts. Today's a special treat for all my listeners in that I have two of my most favorite comedy writers joining us today, Allison Graham and Barry Doherty. These are the voices behind the comedians that you see. Oh yes, those famous comedians do have help, and these are their little elves, and always stylishly dressed. So, hear it for our guests. It's a minute. Allison, Barry.
Hi.
Are you there?
We are here.
We're here. We were going to remain silent for the entire time, but that was cruel.
That's our idea of fun.
I have a stockpiled interesting music and strange stories. Allison Grahams, we'll start with you since you're at the top of my face page here.
Miss the A.
I love it. I love that in my own mind, whenever I spell your name, this is how I remember it, Allison. G-R-A-M-B-S.
Yeah, and that defines so much about my personality.
Now, Allison, I'll start with you. You two are my favorite writers. I'm sitting here. I put all your books out all over this my space right now. I've got them all spread out. I feel like I'm the official library for
Barry. We have a fan. We have
Doherty and Grahams here. But the books are great. Both of you, Allison, you've had a very interesting career. Also, many people don't know this about you. Not only being a writer of 5-6 books, as far as I can count, but you were an Annie.
Were you Annie? No, I was originally hired for the Broadway production to play Pepper, the bully orphan.
Oh.
And then I guess Pepper didn't die on Broadway or whatever, so they put me in the National Touring Company, which was actually more fun because you get to travel all over the country.
Oh,
it was great.
Gosh.
Yeah, so we did, our production was with Reed Shelton, the original Daddy Warbucks, who was really cool. And it was great. And when we closed the show in Hawaii, not bad, right?
Oh, that's the way I like to live, Hawaii. And now, Barry, you've had quite the career.
Well, I was in Annie, too. I played Salt.
I was going to say you played Sandy, but
now.
No, because you're so cute.
Oh, I see.
Today.
No. But between you, you've had quite the career. You've both worked on television. You've both produced things. I see you've both written for things. Barry, you have a commercial background.
I have a news background, primarily journalism and reporting, and I used to do very serious things on Cablevision News. And then I sort of had to get out of that because I was writing funny news stories, and that just didn't seem to work for the news director.
The boss was coming back to you and going, Barry, can we talk?
Yeah, they don't have a sense of humor. I had to find people who do.
And you were a consultant on you're a consultant now on PBS, Make 'em Laugh?
Yeah, Make 'em Laugh, consultant. I reviewed all the scripts and chose what was funny and what wasn't funny, and pretty much everything was funny, so they did a good job.
And both of you are the laughs, as I call them, behind the scenes at the Friars Club. You do both, Allison, you've produced a couple of the Friars Club roast, the televised ones. You did the Hugh Hefner one?
Well, you know, I work behind the scenes just as Barry does. We kind of have a fun little job here because we get to do a lot of behind the scenes writing and producing on a lot of the events.
But you both write a lot of jokes, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not always solicited, but darn it, we'll do it.
I'll take them. They're brilliant. I'm going to start with you, Allison, because you have written two books that put me over the edge. One
sweet.
I'm giving out as a holiday gift, and I love it because it just fits in your purse, and it's called The Man Translator.
Yeah.
And I love this book. Is this one? No, the other one. Okay. All right. This is, I just love my favorite line.
So then can I have that one instead?
Barry would like The Man Translator.
Oh, Barry,
a must have.
My favorite line, and I keep repeating it, is if a man says, so do you live alone, he means, so if I change it to a pipe in my basement, would anyone miss you?
Yes, yes, and it's so true. We've all had that interaction.
You just scare me, Allison.
It's frightening, isn't it? That was a fun book to write. That really was.
What inspired you to write this book?
Well, I was actually approached for the idea after I had done the Smart Girl's Guide to Getting Even. The same publisher came to me and they said,
"Another
we have
scary
an idea.
Book, but okay.
Right, right, another frightening one, all about revenge." And they came to me and they said, "We have an idea, basically just a title. Can you run with this?" And you know, as anybody knows, then you just kind of draft up a proposal. And I thought, well, you know what? Let's go with the man land angle and pretend that man is it's a whole foreign country. So I created basically a parody of a travel book, you know, like those little pocket guides.
Oh, is that your inspiration?
Yeah, you know, okay. Like when you're like racing off to Italy or something and you have one of those little burlets,
well,
everything
that,
you need to know in 10 minutes things. So.
Oh, well, this is, I mean, you could see the work that went into this.
Thank
but.
You.
Can I just add that I took a vacation to Romania recently, and in the bookstore I found Allison's book.
It's true.
I hope you put it in front of all the other books.
Of course I did. That's what every author does. We make sure that they're more prominently placed than anybody else. But it was really a lot of fun. Of course, neither one of us can read any of it.
It's true, Barry.
Oh.
It was very funny. He actually is a good friend. He actually went in search of it, and he and his friend took photographs of them at the bookstore holding it up and brought a copy back for me, which actually got to me before the publisher's copy. So it was
oh.
a hoot. Yeah,
that's,
I mean, you really know you've made it when you're published
in
Romanian.
Well, you know, I have to say, The Man Translator, I would say this book, next to Breaking the Rules, is the perfect woman's book.
Well,
this
thank
is
you.
So, I have given out so many cups. Amazon knows me. And by the way, it's available on Amazon.com, if anyone's listening. Get this book.
You're
if
so
you have
fun.
Something you want to get that's great and affordable for Christmas and supports Allison Graham.
Thank you.
Get this book because I like it. It's small. I pick it up. I put it in my knapsack. I open it again. Whenever I need a laugh, I just turn to any page because I go, that's my man.
I mean, let's be honest. It probably is the most important book ever written. So,
well, next to Barry's books, yes.
Well, that goes without saying.
And nothing says revenge like The Smart Girl's Guide to Getting Even. Now, people who are listening, if you've ever seen the lovely and always tastefully dressed Alice Grams, you would think, how sweet is she? Until you read this book, there are revenge things that I could never think of.
It's the way my mind works. I know, right? That's why everybody's nice to me. Because otherwise I'll refer to page 186.
You know, this you're like Hansel and Gretel. If Hansel had gotten caught and Gretel had escaped.
oh, good. That's the destiny I was growing into.
This is great. But the way you get revenge on everyone and anyone who's ever pissed you off is creative. Again, small enough, light enough to carry. I highly recommend it. Now it's Barry's turn.
Oh, mine are big and thick and heavy.
Oh, they're
fat.
Big, they're thick, they're long. I just don't know what to say about these. They're very evenly proportioned.
Barry does a lot of research for his books, something
He's
I don't approve
maniac.
Of. He's
Where
no
Allison
guy.
Is a revenge-oriented kind of person, he is the Friar's Encyclopedia of Jokes. And I got to tell you, Barry, as a comedian, every now and then I get stumped. And you and Allison are the two books I go and pick up just to refresh the brain. I go, okay, back in the rhythm.
Oh, very cool.
This is so good.
So we have to get royalties from you specifically now.
Yeah, you'll have my loyal royalties.
We'll just go to the ATM with you, Nancy.
All right. There's nothing there, but you're welcome to come. But it's great because you also have in the encyclopedia, which I so love, you have on every topic. I mean, if I was, say, writing a roast and needed to be inspired, I'd go lust. So, oh, yeah, here we go. Here's something on lust. Food. You have everybody. You have quotes from everybody from Woody Allen to Fran Lebowitz. Richard, Brian Regan, you've got everybody in here. Chris
oh, yeah.
Rock, this is fantastic.
You can't
and also,
be caught with
Barry
that.
Has the, I have to say it, the Friars Club Guide to Being a Comic.
That's right.
And I love the title because it's so erotic, How to Do It Standing Up. And
can I just say, you said that very well. You know, I had to make a presentation at Hofstra University not too long ago, and the woman introducing me refused to say the name of that book. Now, what's wrong with that?
I love it.
Yeah.
I think How to Do It Standing Up goes could be for anything.
It's perfect.
I think it could standing up, standing out. This is so great. But you've not only written this. Barry's a maniac because he's only 12, and he's already written the Friars Club Bible, the Encyclopedia, the Private Joke File, How to Do It Standing Up, 100 Years, a Million Laughs. I mean,
boy, you're a prolific guy.
Aren't I? Did I do all that?
And
you
don't know
that. These books are smart. It's not just, I mean, what he adds to them, it's also you're capturing the history of a lot of comedians who no one would really know about outside the comedy circle.
That is actually the beauty of the Friars Club. There are so many talented people that are either they've been gone so long, they've fallen off the radar, or they never actually popped, but yet they were just so talented and so funny. And thank God the Friars became a bastion for every one of them.
Yes, and but by your adding these jokes to these books and putting it out there, you kind of, these young kids today who don't study comedy and will never know.
That's right.
The people that came before them. When I was writing for a television show, I once asked two Harvard graduates who their favorite old-time comedian was, and they said Steve Martin.
Wow.
Oh, dear.
Old-time comedian.
Apparently comedy started with him. Wow.
I guess it's interesting because you two both know the history of comedy, and you would know Clayton Jackson and Durante. You would know the baby Rosemarie, who didn't start off on the Dick Van Dyke Show. That she
correct.
She was actually a child protégé singer.
And a singer, that's right.
And did vaudeville and made her bones and all
and
that.
And she had the same raspy voice she has today.
Yes, she does.
But
and
Barry
she wears
really
a black
cool.
bow in memory of her trombone-playing husband,
that's
I believe.
Right.
What's fun about Barry, though, and you know this, Nancy, when you're at the club, is you can be walking around and, you know, the Friars Club is filled with all these gorgeous photographs of celebrities and old and new and past and present, and he's literally he's like the encyclopedia Barry Tanaka. In that you can stop and ask him a question, and
he
really does know everything.
Friars
it's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, he really is the archivist and the historian. So it's really fun if you need a quick fact or you're just curious about something. He knows everything. It's
and anyone thinking
phenomenal.
About going into comedy at all should be reading these books.
Yeah.
I just think Allison. I got to go back and forth to Allison because I'm a gal, and the books are just so dangerously funny, but sometimes I go, I shouldn't be laughing at
well,
that's
good.
Awesome.
You know what? That's good because I wasn't, it's nice to hear because I, you know, I have an edge, as anybody knows, you know, to my sense of humor.
Yeah, not to look at you, but yes, you and Barry both scare me.
Well, you
we're
can't
not traditional.
See her today, by the way.
But I was very lucky also because my publisher and my editor, Daniel Ciotti, they were terrific in, they gave me such a long leash and that was, That's a gift to any writer, as Barry can tell you, and you know, Nancy. You know, to have your own voice and to not have it squashed, for better or worse, and it's such a gift to anybody.
I just think in this economy, with everyone being laid off,
yeah,
smart guys, girls. He's a smart girl's guide to getting even. It's just so appropriate.
I think I have something in there. But yeah, how to deal with this kind of thing. So
yes, do you remember what it was?
Nope, no clue.
Go into the thing. I just love that you have it for the obnoxious person in your life, the person who never goes home, the evil stepmother.
Yep.
Yeah,
my favorite
aunt and uncle.
Yep, my favorite was the general public though, because that's where I have the least tolerance. I really have a short attention span for dealing with people with, you know, bad manners on the street, like people who take up too much of the sidewalk, cell phone people who don't know how, you know, all of that. So that was the chapter I had to.
And you
I
would never know to look at this woman.
Well, here's the thing, Nancy. Every morning, I live those chapters because she will come in and someone has accosted her or some injustice has been done. And she actually gets the entire office just rolling with all of these injustices to her. So there's a few more books coming out, I'm sure.
I'm sure in that. I love this one. It's in Damage Control, Parents Speak. What Dad says, go ask your mother. What Dad means, I'm too busy building this model of a 1945 Tiger tank to answer you.
And that is truly based on my father. He really did just spend my days building Tiger tank replicas.
I know. It's and kids today wouldn't even know that because they'd be building it
on
Sim.
Yeah, or they'd be building it on a Wii.
On a Wii. And Barry, how do you get the time? And now, I'll go back to Allison, but Barry, these are thick books. These are not thin little books.
They're correct.
How long does it take you to write one of these?
It does vary. I'm usually put on pressure by the publisher, who will say, you know, I want this in 6 months.
You wrote Encyclopedia of Jokes in 6 months?
The Encyclopedia of Jokes was done in 6 months, yes. Because it was just, you know, you'd like to say, oh, I'll take my time. Yeah. Many things did. And it certainly, okay, it was a premature baby, but luckily it came out just fine.
Oh, no, it's great. I do have to say, but, I mean, do you even quote, if I seem to remember, was Dorothy Parker in here?
Or? Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yes, you did. You quoted Dorothy Parker.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the thing about comedy. It's not just jokes. It's the humor is through the ages.
Mm-hmm.
It's not.
Yeah, that's it. It doesn't have to be a comedian. There's just, as you said, they're humorous. And you have
Oscar Wilde, great humorous. Oscar Wilde.
Robert Benchley. I mean, all these people.
Gosh, yes.
They were just, they're brilliant minds and humorous minds. I find, and the whole thing, whether it's comedians or humorous, they're among the most brilliant people I've ever met. They're all well-read. They know everything going on. They know current events. They know history. They're brilliant people. And, you know, people may underestimate a comedian who just gets up on stage and they think that's all they do. And they don't. They're just amazing. And by virtue of the fact that they can do their job.
Let go. And they're just willing to fall. And that's
exactly.
Oh, we got a caller. Let's see who's online. Hold on. Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Hi, who's this?
Oh, this is Friar Bob Greenberg.
Oh, there you go. You got a question?
I got a question for Barry.
Yeah, Barry's not here. He left.
Oh, okay. What can I talk to?
No, you could talk to him. How are you?
I'm fine. How you doing?
Bob, the elevator is working, by the way.
Yeah, come on back.
Just so you know, it was broken. It's now working.
Oh, I'm glad to hear. Who needs to walk? Who needs to walk anymore?
What can I do for you, sir?
Well, you know, there's always the question. What is a comedian? And what is a comic? And I've read in various, you know, autobiographies like Milton Berle and Jack Benny. They both say a comedian is this and a comic is that. You know, how do you term the phraseology? Like how do you
I actually find them both interchangeable. But I think there's an old school rule that the comedian is the more intellectual humorist of the two. And the comic is the Henny Youngman, let me just get my one-liner out, slapstick, you know, punchline, whatever. And the comedian will then take a longer time to tell their joke. They may tell more of a story than just a joke. But
right.
I think in this day and age...
the comic is the joke.
Right. But I think today they've become interchangeable.
I mean, like Steve Martin, somebody mentioned Steve Martin earlier,
would be
considered a comedian, whereas, let's say, a Jerry Seinfeld, who was never a great actor, per se, would be more of the comic, because more of a joke-laced.
Right. And, you know, people also may misunderstand and misread the word comic. It's not demeaning in any way. It's just a distinction. But as I said, I think it's a distinction that's long gone.
Barry, I learn something from you every day.
That is. Get another question, Bob. Have one for Allison.
Yes,
that's a great
yes.
question.
Oh, well, thank you.
For Bob.
So, Alice, I didn't know you were so mean and so evil.
Scary.
So
oh, talk to me, Bob. I can give you stories.
Oh, she was Peppa, right? Is that it?
Yes.
You pepper spray?
You know,
well?
I was pepper sprayed all the time. You know who's in the cast with me? Alyssa Milano. How funny is that?
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my son has such a crush on her.
Oh.
Well, I have a crush on her.
The radio show is now taking a turn.
Oh my goodness. Oh my. And she's a witch, right? That's the last thing she did. She was like
Charmed?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
A hot witch.
Yeah, hot witch. Sure.
So what's your question, Travis?
So your book is selling in Romania. Do you have like a vampire following? Is
I don't want to make you jealous, Bob, but it's not just Romania. It's Latvia and Germany as well.
Oh my God.
Oh yes, Nancy knows. I have branched out. I have the entire Eastern Bloc of Europe covered, thank you very much.
So if I have any surviving relatives in Galicia, there's more than likely like an old Jewish Greenberg in Galicia, I doubt there are any left, unfortunately. But anyway, if there was, the one who hid in the attic or whatever, he or she could go buy your book right now?
Presumably. We don't know, but rumor has it. It's possible.
Unbelievable. So how do you feel being a... would you be considered a multilingual author?
No, I think just internationally... published, I guess. I don't know. It's a hoot. I don't know how the country. I don't know how countries decide which
Allison,
goes where.
Allison, I just had a flash of women in burkas reading this book.
Again, my target audience.
Both of them.
Is it in their language?
My girl's got
it. It's in their language. It's in their language. Yes.
How do you know if it reads funny? And
I have no idea. I mean, I've seen the Romanian version. The German, I'm familiar with a little. It looks a little. It looks a little angrier than my version. but other than that, it's pretty close.
Oh my God.
I guess in Germany it would be like office gossip would be, you didn't hear this from me, but
no, I think
talking about people behind their backs.
Her revenge book is more of a feel-good book in Germany.
It is. It's a cheer-up book, right? Exactly. Very funny, Bob.
All right. Take care, guys.
Hey, thanks
Bye.
For calling.
Thanks, Bob.
All right. You're welcome. Be good. Bye-bye.
That was a great question. I like
He's
that.
He's good. He's very good.
He's
a
comedian. It is. I'm often in betwixt and between that myself because
I never knew about. That's true. I use them interchangeably, and I never really thought about that.
And you should. They are at this point. You know.
Well, Nancy, let me ask you a question. Mm. Do you refer to yourself as a comedienne, a comedian, a comic? What do you call yourself?
I call myself a performance comedian.
Okay. But comedienne or comedian?
Comedian.
Okay, good.
It's like actor, actress.
Right, exactly.
An actor is an actor, I think. A comedian is a comedian. And that, and Michelle Ballin is both. So
she's cool.
I try to mention her once every show. It's a running gag we have going.
And you've done your duty. I'll mention her in Romania, too.
Somebody called in as Michelle Ballin one day because I was imitating her on the show.
Seriously?
Yes, and they called in as Michelle. It was somebody from the club, Nathan. And so they called in, and I was doing Michelle Ballin giving advice outside the club.
She's a riot.
I want to talk to you, but I got to have a cigarette. Come with me.
Oh, you got her down perfect.
See, we work in the coolest place on earth, Barry. We really do.
We do.
You sure do, and also you underwrite a lot of the comedians there. You're my fantasy dream team if I ever get a TV show.
Well, Barry does a lot more of that than I do, but it's a wacky. I mean, Nancy, you've seen it. It's the wackiest place on earth. Like Barry and I are constantly joking. We couldn't work anywhere else after.
Can I tell you something about Barry? What he does? I will say nothing. There will be a comment done while I'm at an event. I will say nothing. Barry will look to the left and curl his lip to the right, and I will start laughing so hysterically.
Don't tell my secrets.
It is so funny. And Barry, they can get your books on www.barry.com, right?
Yeah, BarryDoherty.com.
And the page a day calendar, is that still available? Because that was great.
You had a page a day calendar?
I did. We had one. They did for 1 year, and then they stopped it.
But I bet that's available like on eBay and stuff, because that was a hoot, too. Yeah.
Now, are either of your books being put on DVD or CDs or anything, you know, reading books or?
Not yet, but there's talk of doing some CDs.
What is the new computer thing? I forget the word for it. That they put books on now?
Kindle?
What did you just say?
Kindle?
Kindle or the Nook or the...
These books would be great on that.
Yeah.
It's all shift. Oh, it would be so much fun if you could get the actual comics, too.
Yeah.
That would be like a copyright hell.
Be a little hard.
Well,
therein
lies the problem. And, you know, it's not even the comics. It's their estates. They get greedier after the person...
Oh, yes. Yes, I know. You had a book signing of Wills of the Rich and Famous at the Friars Club.
I did not. Now, was not Barry Doherty.
The Friars Club did. You've written so many books, I can't even. None of your books have been brought to CD or tape, really.
Not at the moment.
I would think this is great driving material here. This is great. Aaron,
actually, it would cause lots of crashes. Yes. People would be laughing so hard. You'd just see a pile up on the LIE.
Barry, let me ask you, because how do you get these people? You've done so many interviews. How do you get them to talk to you?
Oh, I charm the hell out of them. I mean, you know, what it is? A lot of them are friars. And, I mean, that's certainly a wonderful entree for me.
Foxworthy is a friar?
No, but I said a lot of them. We didn't get to him yet. the way for the friars, it's a little easier for me. With other people who aren't friars, if you just presented that this is an opportunity to showcase their work as well, and they also like the fact that I'm not just stealing things from them or I'm not talking about them and it's unauthorized, they're more than happy to talk to me if I'm going to give them the credit they're due. And as long as you're honest, that's the problem with a lot of these writers. I don't understand why they sort of go behind the backs of all of these people. You don't have to if you just approach them honestly with what you're doing. And they either say yes and embrace it or they say no, thank you. So either way.
But these are, and Barry, you have such compilations here. I mean, the books you've done, encyclopedias, joke files. How do you get so many
Where do you get these from?
Oh, everywhere. Everywhere I can think of. I love the internet, for starters.
But 100 years, a million laughs.
Well, a lot of all for that material,
that's
it's
beautiful.
All, yeah, and that's all from the Friars Archives. We have a rich history of our own here. So, I mean, all of these events have been, well, sadly, not all of them, but lately they're starting to record them. But, you know, we don't have back in the day when they didn't think anything of it. But that's where a lot of that material comes from.
And, you know, Nancy, here's an inside story. We do know there is on record in New York City one person who actually did die laughing at one of Barry's books, because my husband, he's a sergeant in the NYPD, and they got a call one day for a DOA, an elderly man who had passed away, and very, very comfortably. And then they went to his house, and they did whatever cops do when they arrive at a DOA, and he had died very peacefully in his armchair with a copy of Barry's joke book on the nightstand
Which one?
I think this was years ago, so it must have been the Encyclopedia of Jokes. Yeah.
Yeah,
but my husband called right away. He said, he got Barry's book. So we have to only assume that he died laughing.
Is that how you do your quote, Barry?
That's
DOA?
Yeah. You know, I also read there was a country singer, and there was a picture of him somewhere, and it was also on the shelf behind him.
Oh, my God.
So, but I didn't, you know, I didn't do a lot of research this way. So I thought, oh, he'll love the new book.
Don't we have anyone who works for any of the law and orders, so when they go to the person's apartment, your book is there?
With the DOA, so you've started a trend.
See?
Now, Allison, your husband went to Cornell?
No, that I know of.
Oh,
no.
Okay.
No.
But you did.
Should I call him and tell him to go to Cornell?
No, I don't know. That's what someone told me, that he went to Cornell.
Somebody lied. They're spreading a horrible rumor.
My sources are fired.
Well, she has several husbands, so which one?
Yeah, it depends which one you're talking about, actually.
But he is directly out of a Fiorello musical in that... You Love a Cop.
I Love a Cop, yes. Yes. Isn't that good? That's a funny song. That's,
I love that song.
Everybody, it's a good song, though.
Yeah, I know the whole song. But now, did you ever go to Maine and tour penitentiaries?
Yes. That was my best date ever. My best date ever was going to the Maine State Prison.
That was a date?
It was a date. It was a date. It was my, honestly, I'm not kidding you. I have a thing for prisons, which right on itself doesn't make sense. But
prisoners have a thing for me because I'm
exactly.
Male.
See, there you go. And yes, we were at Maine. So we were up in Maine because we do a lot of motorcycling and camping and stuff up there. And I had always been obsessed with Maine State Prison, which was like the Shawshank Redemption.
Oh, that's
of prison
right.
Up
that's
there.
Right. I forgot.
It, sadly, they tore it down.
The castle, Stephen King.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was like something right out of a movie, and it was one of the oldest, with 99% lifers in it. And we were actually able to. I don't know what God was looking on us, but my husband was able to get us in for a tour. And I'll never forget the warden. He looked at me, and I'm sitting there in tank tops and in overalls, and he said, "Do you want to go down during lockdown or when the prisoners are out?" Now remember, these are 99% lifers. These were hardcore prisoners. And I said, "Oh, I want to go in now when they're all running around." So we went in, and Tommy had to give up his gun and everything, and it was frightening because you're sitting in there with, I mean, these were bad people and everything, and I'm sitting there with my little braids, and it was the most romantic date ever.
I have visions of them saying, so I read your stuff. Tell me, can you get me an autographed copy of Barry's book?
the private joke file book, that's the one that's popular. They're the dirty jokes.
Oh, my, oh, is it really?
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised. Or the man translator wouldn't.
No, wouldn't go, well, you don't, I don't know. Some of them have bitches
in prison,
well, right?
Sure.
Well, comedy is the best medicine there. And, Allison, they can get your books on Amazon.com, right?
I believe so, yeah. I think if you Google it, they
oh,
all
no.
Come up.
You can so easily Google Allison, A-L-I-S-O-N-G-R-A-M-B-S. And you will find her books, Allison Grant's books. But you have a couple of surprise books in there. You have kids' books.
That was my first foray into publishing was children's joke books, which was a lot of fun.
Did you find these jokes or make them up?
No, I did. I wrote them all, and poor Barry, he had to hear the practice of some of them as I was, you know, turtle puns. It's mostly puns and plays on words, but yeah, I did a couple, like a Halloween one, a Christmas one, and they're all still out there, which cracks me up.
Now, do either one of you do corporate gigs and public speaking, motivational speaking, anything like
we're
that?
We're not allowed to speak publicly, Nancy.
Yeah,
the
they
only
don't
one.
Let us, ever since
they
the training orders have kicked in.
We're not allowed to represent the club.
We're wonderful at public speaking.
It hurts. Crazy. You're next?
No, we haven't done. No, nobody's asked us to speak publicly.
Are you kidding me?
It
would be great.
I give tours of the monastery. That's as public as I get.
And
but
I give tours of the laboratories
downstairs.
You're
kidding, right? You're allowed. If somebody hired you to go to talk about your books, all right, so you're
hireable. No, we've done that. I've done book signings and at the
Alan.
And we've done interviews. Yeah, and we do interviews about the club a lot, so.
Well, about the club, I'm talking about the books. I know the club, but the books are what's... You know, Allison, so many people were surprised when I was talking about you and Barry, and I was saying, oh, they've written all these books. They go, Barry? Allison? Allison upstairs? I said, yes, Allison, go on the Internet. And then so I had to give out a dozen of them to prove it. And, I mean, but again, I do want to reiterate, because I know you guys have to get back to your friar duties, that The Man Translator, great book for Christmas. The Smart Girl's Guide to Getting Even. You know, as devious as any woman thinks you are not till you've read this book. And this gets even with everybody. And Barry, if you are in these economic times, I cannot on any other time recommend what a great time to give comedy books, to give comedy to people. This is the best time in the world if you're going to buy something for somebody, buy any of these two authors. Books, they're both great. Barry Doherty at www.barrydoherty.com and Allison Graham's on amazon.com. And I know you both have to get back to work, so let me see. Allison, anything you want to add?
No, you've been great, Nancy. This is really great talking
and Barry,
to you.
Anything you want to add?
No, I had a great time. Thank you.
So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to go out and I'm going to go out on, let's see what we have here. Oh, I know. A tribute to one of my favorite children's authors, and I think you'll know him, and should be coming up soon.
Hello,
thank you
children.
Both for being guests.
Thanks, Nancy.
Thanks, Nancy.
Your substitute teacher. Miss Salvatore was suddenly called away, something about a case of food poisoning. But that shouldn't stop us from enjoying our lunch period, now should it? So, as a special treat, I'm going to read to you a very lovely holiday story called Kafka for Christmas, from the Scholastica Kafka for Children series. Once upon a Christmas Eve, there was a man named Gregor Samsa, who went to bed a businessman and woke up a Christmas roach, a really big one. Well, children, you can imagine how shocked Gregor was to wake up with antennas and six legs. His parents were not going to like this at all. Why, they never ever let him have a pet, let alone be one. Suddenly, there was a knock at the door. It was Gregor's dad, and he was mad.
Gregor, he yelled, Merry Christmas, get up. It's time for you to go to work at your boring, nondescript job, so you can support me and the whole family while I stay home and read the paper out loud.
Get off my case, said Gregor. I'll be out when I'm good and ready. Now, children, Gregor wasn't usually rude to his parents, but today was special. Next, his mom knocked on the door and yelled, Gregor, open this door at once. It's Christmas and you're upsetting your father. Next, his sister Greta put in her 2 cents with, Gregor's gonna get it, Gregor's gonna get it. Gregor said nothing. He just laid there feeling persecuted in a nightmarishly impersonal world. As you can guess by now, Gregor's family was very dysfunctional. So that morning, everyone left him alone to go open their Christmas presents, and Gregor spent the day in bed, his spiny roach legs flaying in the air trying to get up. As this was his first day as a roach, he didn't quite know how everything worked. Gregor could hear all the laughter, Christmas carols, and everyone having fun in the other room. Now he was really pissed. So with all his roach might, he leaped out of bed, landed on his 6 little legs, and opened the door with his roach jaw and screamed, Surprise! I'm a roach. I hope you're all satisfied. Well, you can imagine how shocked everyone was. They darn near had an aneurysm. Now Gregor's dad was really mad and yelled, What's the meaning of this? Is this some kind of political statement, or are you just trying to bug me? Gregor's mom passed out in the Christmas eggnog. Gregor's sister just kept yelling, Gregor's gonna get it, Gregor's gonna get it. The rest of the day, Gregor hid under the living room couch, and Greta brought him rotten food to eat and said, "You old bug, you'll do anything to get attention." Then Greta would torture him by turning the lights on and off, on and off, on and off. "Stop it!" Gregor cried. Let's face it, children, as sisters go, Greta was a pain in the butt. Just then, Gregor's mom walked by wiping the eggnog off her face and saw Gregor gnawing on a piece of dead animal carcass and had a coronary right there on the spot. While his mother lay gasping for air on the floor, Greta got out her violin and began to play her favorite Christmas folk song, Das Kukarachas Christmas, for the lodgers who lived in their house. By the way, lodgers are people who live in your house when the economy is bad, and if they're related, they're called moochers. Just then, Gregor snapped and said, "That does it!" And he crawled out from under the couch into the dining room. Then one of the lodgers, named the letter K, just K, saw him and said, "What's that?" Gregor's dad said, "It's nothing. Merry Christmas. Concert's over. Everybody go to bed." "That does it," said Greta. "I'm never going to get married with him around." "She's right," said Gregor's dad. And Gregor's mom said nothing. She just lay on the floor, gasping for air. "Let's get rid of him," cried Greta. "Okay, but how?" chimed both his parents. Gregor grew nervous as they slowly took off their shoes and began throwing them at him. "Ow! Stop it! It's Christmas, for crying out loud," cried Gregor. Then Gregor's dad yelled, "Got him!" They cried, and Gregor died. All the lodgers came down to look at the dead flat thing that only early Christmas Eve had been a businessman. Gregor's dad charged 10 cents a look, made a lot of money, and kicked the lodgers out. Then he tipped the maid a lot of money to get rid of Gregor's remains. And the family spent the rest of the holidays in the country, where Greta married Lodger K, just the letter K, and stretched her firm young body and said, "Great, now I can have his room." Wasn't that a swell Christmas story, children? Why, you've hardly eaten a thing. Well, never mind. Let's just put everything away under our desk. And guess what? It's nap time. Merry Christmas.
Well, there you have it, a little children's story and dedicated to Alison Graham, Barry Doherty. Wonderful guest at www.barrydoherty.com. Got his books, Alison Graham's The Perfect Christmas Gift. Any female friends? That's right, you can find her on Amazon.com, The Smart Girl's Guide to Getting Even, The Man Translator, and numerous other books for your children. Don't forget Barry Doherty. You have a man friend who loves a good joke or just needs to learn to tell one. Get his books, please. AnnieLombardo.com/comedyconcepts.com. Blog Talk Radio. Have a good joke.